All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, January 28th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday. Happy Space Shuttle Anniversary Explosion Day. Yes, I actually managed to beat space.com in posting an acknowledgement of the destruction of the Space Shuttle Columbia on January 28th, 1986, 29 years ago today. I remember that date very distinctly because it also was the last day I took my last final exam in high school and walked out a free woman at that point. It's 17 degrees here today and extremely sunny. We don't get that too often. I woke up at some ungodly hour. Oh, God, it must have been like 5 maybe this morning. I was so hot. The temperature dove outside. I took a look. It was 2 degrees. And it must have been just the right temperature that when the thermostat felt the cold, it cranked. And I woke up. Man, I was having these weird dreams because I was so hot. And I was in some strange place. It's some nightmarish scenario. And then I realized that no, it's just that my room is a little bake box. It was horrible. Anyway, so yes, anniversary of the space shuttle. The Columbia, the Challenger, I think was this one. And the Columbia, I believe, was February 1st. That one I don't pay a lot of attention to, but hold on, let's check that out because my friend Bob. That I worked with for many years. Bob was the only other person that I knew that. Here we go. Columbia Space Shuttle. Yeah, it was his birthday that the Space Shuttle Columbia blew up on. Space Shuttle. Yeah, it was Columbia. That was the one that actually burned up over Texas. It was pretty nasty. So the poor space shuttle program has now been dismantled, and it made me very sad. Another anniversary today is the Blizzard of 77 in Buffalo, New York. I will never forget that. It was on the front page of the New Zealand newspaper, Buffalo, New York, buried under, I don't even know what the snowfall was at some point, 100 inches I'm seeing here. But I mean, it was major and it was all drifting. It wasn't just like a big lake effect snow dump. It had all drifted in off the lake. But they made New Zealand headline news. I remember in 1977, international travel was not, or phone calls, or internet. None of that stuff really existed in any way, shape, or form. You know, if you flew there, it was thousands of dollars. If you called there, it was like $20 a minute, you know, so information still wasn't free flowing. And Buffalo, New York made the front page news. It literally sounded like everybody in Buffalo was dead. So, yeah, two things that I remember about this date, January 28th. It's a good day. Good day. All right. So, where do we go from here? We are going to continue talking about some of the stuff that we've been talking about for the last 3 or 4 days. And Pigmind did me a huge solid yesterday. I dropped him a note and said, I cannot find. Remember, we were looking for some videos yesterday about Eric Schmidt talking about the Longevity Project. Actually, I had that wrong. It was the Immortality Project. Oh, semantics. That's why I couldn't find it. As we started digging into some of the archives of Pigmind 2, he found some even more amazing things. He has this whole series of interviews with Ray Kurzweil. So I have all those links as well. I found the video from RT from back in September talking about science predicting a new human species by in the next 30 years, which, yeah, we remember that one. Some pretty scary shit. But you know, I really, every day as we do the show and then we miss like half of what I did research on, we're like now months behind. I really need to get way down to like a week ago, we got to hit a couple stories. I mean, I think I've beaten the precision healthcare to death, except that I did find the proof that I was looking for that I've been telling everyone that like the whole entire fucking planet missed, which was that Obamacare was voted not a healthcare plan, which 100% makes kickbacks legal. I found a Forbes story. Oops, hold on. I found a Forbes story about that very thing yesterday. I knew I had read that in some big mainstream publication. But how come no one's talking about that? How come that isn't like on the front page of anyone who's waving a flag to repeal it? Doesn't matter who's for it or who's against it or any of this other bullshit. The fact that by passing Obamacare, it allows the corporatocracy to butt pat each other and pass funds as bribes and kickbacks back and forth for prescribing you certain drugs and diagnosing you as sick when you're not, that should be a huge concern to everyone. That should throw it right out a fucking window. And the fact that then Congress is allowed to, you know, they look the other way when they insider trade, that's even huger. How much do you want to bet that all of Congress is invested in these pharmaceutical companies now, or the insurance companies, or the biotech, or the genomics, or, you know, any of those other entities that are now going to be a part of precision healthcare and telling you what's best for you as they get your genetic code into a large electronic database to be able to make you now the free research and development? I think that was the payoff. I think that was the payoff for them passing all this. That's what they told them. Well, don't worry about it. The benefit to you. Because I remember in the very beginning when Obamacare first passed and all these people were getting dropped off of their insurance plans. And I was like, wait a second. I mean, I'm as much of a money grubber as anyone else in this country, all right? We were all conditioned to be consumerists and capitalists, all right? And I'm pretty savvy when it comes to things like that. You know, I dabbled in the stock market a little bit when I first had a real job and had a few dollars, and I literally would buy penny stocks, but I'd throw, you know, 10, 15 bucks in a week and buy stuff. And it was fun. I got it pretty quick. I got how the whole thing worked pretty quick. And I'll tell you what I realized is if you're a company and you have a stock, if you're traded on the stock market, the only concern, your main primary concern is to make sure the stockholders make money. That's all it is. They don't give a shit about you or me or grandma. Your stock makes money. Bottom line. Your bottom line has to be profitable. I don't care if I just had to fire the guy with five kids. You know what? He was costing me too much money. That's how it works in America. So when I started reading about insurance companies dumping paying customers, not government handout customers, paying customers, whether it be from a corporate, they had their corporate health insurance or they had individual health insurance, people all over America started to lose their health insurance. And then we're forced to go on this Obamacare. And I was like, well, it doesn't make any sense. Who would dump paying customers, especially in this economy? I mean, it's been tough times here for quite a number of years. I mean, that's called really dumb if you're dumping customers. But no, see, that was one of those little red button things that should make you go, huh? That doesn't quite make sense. That, you know, all the other distractions in the world kind of make you see it and then ignore it or forget about it because you got 10 other things that are more important. That was the red button. Because they weren't dumping subscribers with the hopes of not getting new customers. There were all these other treats in the background. Kickbacks are legal. R&D line items are going to be zero because you can have all of America as your big fat guinea pigs. Electronically portable. It's a slice and dice. And by the way, you might lose a few people on insurance because they can't afford the new stuff, but I'll tell you what, jack up the rates and let's see how many stupid fucking people pay. Oh, and what? For those people who can't afford it, they're going to be subsidized by the federal government. So guess what? Let's take all the poor people and we'll subsidize them and we'll make the taxpayer pay. I mean, guys. You know, I really started digging in yesterday. I've been following it, but oh my God, when I start getting to this stuff, I get so mad that I have nothing constructive to say except for swears. So there are some topics that, you know, I've been into way back when, and then I had to drop because I just don't have anything constructive to say. But last night, I jumped on twice. I was going to find it. I was going to find that quote. Again, something else. And we're going to look at nanotech, too. Another thing that I've said a million times. I've quoted statistics and nanotech and plastic and flavor enhancers, but I've never whipped out a story because it's stuff that I've researched in my, extensive research that I do sometimes, many times while I'm here, late at night. And I dig up a little tidbit. And I use that, but then I never actually bring some proof to you to run around and stuff it in people's faces. So I'm going to do that today. But this Obamacare thing, people, I mean, we should be literally with pitchforks. This is the last big sock. I mean, this is to take control of you, your family, your bodies, your health, your future, your history. Put a big fat price tag on it. And oh, if you get subsidies, don't worry about it because the government's going to pay for it for you. Oh, what? That gets added to your income and they're going to tax you on it? Yeah. Oh, what? You don't buy insurance? Well, guess what? We're going to fine you because now you don't have insurance because we priced it out anyway. This is the biggest crony capitalist bullshit scam I have seen to this date in my life. Pitchforks and burning torches is what I say. Hey, if there isn't, you know, I used to say the last bastion of freedom was driving in my car for multiple hours with the windows and the roof open and loud music. Well, hate to tell you, but I'm wrong. The last bastion of freedom is freedom over your body and what you eat and what goes into it. And who knows about your private information? That is about to end. I mean, it's already ended to some extent. What we eat, that's one of the things we're going to look at. What you put into it, we talked about, oh, the Disney measles outbreak is going to be now this big anti-vaxxer dialogue. And look at what's happening all over. They're trying to amp up these parents. Oh, because of these selfish anti-vaxxers, your kids are at risk. You know what? As a parent, here's something that if you're not a parent and you never were a parent, you'd never know this. But as a parent, you change. And what changes about you is that child and making sure that that child stays safe becomes the most important thing to you. Before I have a kid, before I ever had a kid, I was like, nah, you know what? Y2K, fuck it. Let's party on the way down. Woo! You know, I mean, I didn't really care. I was at that point. I was like, ah, I had a good life. It's been fun, but oh well, you know, pop goes the weasel. But once you have a kid, it totally changes. You are going to do whatever possible to make sure that that kid survives. Your last dying breath will be to make sure that that kid survives. So the fact that they're pushing that red button now, saying that anti-vaxxer parents are endangering the lives of your children. Guys, they're, again, divide and conquer. They're trying to incite war now in parental America. What? You're criticizing Common Core, but Common Core is making sure that all of America gets a good conversation, a good education. Yes. I know in New York, I want to make sure that my region standard that made New York top of the educational pyramid for all my years being alive, puts my kid at the same fucking rate as Florida, where they pay no educational taxes, and they don't give a shit about the kids, or fucking Arkansas. Yeah, that's where I want my educational pinpoint to be. I mean, what the... And Bill Gates, putting his spin on the world, jamming it into my kid's head. This is sick shit, people. they're taking every one of these issues to turn it around, all the stuff we're against. And it's because we're the ones with common sense, with logic. We're the ones who actually looked into all the bullshit going on behind the curtain, and we've called them out. So they have to twist it and manipulate it and make it so we are the enemy. And every step of the way, every time I turn around, there's a new way that now we've been deemed the enemy. It's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. All right, I ranted enough. Let's see. I got to scroll down here for a minute because we had... Yes, actually, there was a story. Could GMOs be behind your digestive problems? I talked at length about that. We actually mentioned it yesterday morning. Hal even talked about it with the glyphosate being sprayed all over the wheat, which I was not aware of the wheat. I had wondered often about the corn. You see all the dense cornfields. You know, I was thinking about that. I had asked my friend who lives down in the farm country why they used to leave all the corn, the dead corn like that. And I was told that they spray the corn with herbicide so the corn dies. And they leave it there because they use it as animal feed. So even better, Dr. Hubert pointed out in a lot of his research that he had found the glyphosate right in the placental tissue. So the animals that were ingesting the glyphosate were passing that on to their offspring. And they have found many instances now where it's in like breast milk of humans and things as well. So, I mean, just know that as we even eat little bits of this stuff, that it is getting into the food chain. All right. So let me scroll back here really quick. I would just want to see, I guess maybe we'll have to take a day, maybe next week, because there are just so many awesome stories. Maybe I'll have to record like an extended edition. I don't know. I just hate when I miss so many. I mean, we didn't do any of this AI stuff, and I'm sure now you've heard the story, but when it first came out, it was pretty surprising that Elon Musk was donating $10 million to stop AI from turning against humans. I might have to do a whole AI section. Maybe that'll be next week. The environment shapes your immune system more than genetics. So, hey, our polluted, glyphosate-laden environment has more to do with our immune system than our actual immune system. Now, that should be pretty telling. Hold on here. I'm sharing this so I don't lose it. All right. So, let's check something out. I guess I'm going to have to worry about going back into history 2 weeks that we've missed later. Let me connect my desktop because I found some awesome stuff. I found a video on spider goats. We talked about that. That Pigmine too. If you guys haven't been out there, it has been around. That's actually the second channel. Pigmine was the very, 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 very original from like 07, I think. And then that got hit, and then Pigmine 2 came. So I saw there was stuff, I don't know, I'd have to look at what the year was, but there was stuff from 4 years ago, stuff from 2 years ago, and stuff from 1 year ago. So that channel's been used on and off, but there's some great historical videos out there if you just do some searches. Like I said, I found the spider goat. We found all kinds of Kurzweil. I found a video, too, about the GMO mosquitoes being released in Brazil. And I found the pterodactyl mosquito one. So we have a treat today. One of the things I want to look at, though, before we go any further, is we're going to look at this anti-kickback law. Hold on. I got to connect. Sorry, guys. Hold on. I am having major problems, like, between... What? Major... All right. Try this one more time. Plus. Add people. Oh. It's like neuron misfire this morning. Wow. Like my eyes telling my hands to click. It wasn't working. I wasn't clicking on the right thing multiple times. All right, here we go. Let's hit the answer button. Then we can disconnect. Now I'm all set up. Actually, let's connect. We're going to listen to something. Just to listen to something. Here we go, people. Your future and mine.
Late tonight, producing the building blocks of the future. New York Times technology reporter David Pogue has teamed up with Nova for a new series that will look at innovative technologies and materials. In tonight's premiere, he focuses on making stuff stronger. Here's an excerpt.
Spider silk has been shown to have more tensile strength than steel and Kevlar. It can stretch to 140% of its length without breaking and remains flexible even in extreme cold. It's also so lightweight that a mere pound of the stuff could form a single strand long enough to stretch around the equator. But could we ever harvest enough to put it to use? I paid a visit to the American Museum of Natural History in New York, where I met Nicholas Godley.
This is it. This is your baby?
This is the big one.
Who enlisted the help of more than a million spiders to make this breathtaking piece of fabric.
It's the largest known textile and sample or piece of spider silk in the world.
To truly appreciate this remarkable material, you have to feel it. The main piece is so valuable, it's off limits, even to its creator. But Nicholas has brought a smaller sample.
It feels really, really, really soft. Like animal wool or something.
I challenge you to break off this piece.
I'm gonna break before it does. Okay, it does not. It's like pulling a strand of steel. Wow.
Yeah, guys, remember, that is the silk that was from the spider goats. And I mean, I remember when I first learned about spider goats, and this came out right before Fukushima, too. So I had not opened my eyes yet when this first was released, but this was January 19th of 2011. So we're doing a rewind from about 4 years ago. But what they did was they genetically modified these goats with genes out of spiders. So when they would milk the goats, I got to turn that off. When they'd milk the goats, the spider silk would come out in the milk. And what made me actually, I couldn't even believe that the Pigmind channel still had that video because I had never seen that video before. But what got me thinking about this and what I was originally looking for was the whole malaria vaccine in the milk. And a few interesting things that I found, but I'm still digging because I went through just about every press release on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation webpage last night. I could not find any that referenced the freaking malaria goats. And I'm telling you, I know 100% for a fact that I read it on their website. So I really started digging down into who was working on the malaria goats, which it seems a professor at Texas A&M, which we know, guess what happened at Texas A&M? That's where the Blue Angel Project started with for DARPA funding for the universal flu vaccine, which then turned into the drowning of the GMO tobacco to make these off-the-wall RNAi virus vaccinations. So I'm going to guarantee you somewhere along the way, if I dig deep enough, I'm going to be able to find that connection and funding. But I have not found it yet. But I'm telling you, I saw a press release. I know I did. I know I read it, and I know where I read it. And it's there. We'll find it. But no, I wasn't able to find any videos on the malaria vaccine in goats. So it's making me wonder, did they lose funding? Is it still in production? Did people freak out so bad, like with the mosquitoes? We're going to look at that in a minute, that they just shut up and they did it anyway. Because, I mean, that's very possible. Who the fuck's going to know in Africa if the goats that they're giving them a malaria vaccine in the milk? Who's going to know? And if they come out 15 years from now, like they're doing with the nanotech, which not really, they're not even in public, but they're at least publishing it, going, huh, guess what? It's been in your food all along. Nah. You've been ingesting it for 15 years. Nah. And look, it didn't hurt you. It's like when your mother used to tell you, you'd be like, oh, fish, I don't like fish. Well, you like that. You like that soup I make? Oh, yeah, I love it. It's my favorite. Well, you didn't know it always had fish in it, did you? I mean, she used to do that stuff to me all the time. And I hated that because I always felt like I was duped. She'd been tricking me. Oh, you said you don't like that, but you've been eating it all along. I think that's why I am so picky about my food and I get really freaky about certain things. Anyway, okay, so spider goats it is. Here, I'm going to drop this in chat. I don't know. There are people, you know, there are some of us who have been doing this for a little bit longer than others. Some that maybe have come in along the way in the last 4 years. But I just dropped that into chat. If you are not in chat and you want to see this video, it is on youtube.com/pigmind2. Actually, most of these are on Pigmind 2. And the title is New Materials from Transgenic Spider Goats. It's very disturbing. All right. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Here. There was a little piece of research that I did after the show yesterday. And we knew that this was probably the case. I was kind of guessing when I was on the air that Oxitec, the company that is responsible now for these new genetically modified mosquitoes that they want to release in the Keys, it is a UK pharmaceutical biotech company. They've done all kinds of things with crops and whatever. Well, what is hanging off of me? I'm catching something floating around in the corner of my eye. I went into the who we are our team, and oh, no big fucking surprise, half of the corporate team is from Syngenta. Yes, yes, yes. Haddon Perry, the chief executive officer. Haddon Perry has an extensive background in the life science sector during his 15-year career at Zeneca Syngenta. He held various positions, including general manager of the Seneca Plant Sciences and European director and global head of R&D for Advanta, one of the world's largest seed companies. More recently, he was CEO of MNL Pharmaceuticals, a company that was focused on pioneering a novel approach to immunology. That makes the hair stand up on my arms. The dude's into GMO seeds, immunology, pharmaceuticals, R&D. Yeah, he's the type of guy I want in charge of making genetically modified mosquitoes and letting them loose. Go, well, you know, we don't think it's going to pass any GMO DNA as they bite you into your bloodstream. And if it does, we don't quite know what it's going to do, but don't worry about it. Simon Warner, Chief Science Officer. Simon Warner has 18 years of global commercial experience in biotechnology R&D in various roles at Syngenta in the UK and in the United States, leading collaborative programs in delivering biotechnology products and crops for feed and fuel. So it must have been the corn. I'm assuming corn is the one that they were using for animal feed and fuel. And hey, we're animals too, remember? Additionally, whilst at Syngenta, he also worked in as the R&D lead on technology acquisition on various agreements. Guys, I'm telling you, it is all about the bottom line. It is about getting rid of that R&D line item budget that's worth millions of dollars a year. Any public company, if you can go in and you can find their year-end statement, which is required for them to publish, and they have to publish it on their website, probably under investor relations or something like that, they have to publish what their expenditures were. I don't remember what the name of the form is. There's this, you know, like you get the 1099s or whatever. There's a number form like that, SEC something, that they're required to publish every year as a public company. And if you have stock in that company, then they'll probably send you like the whole board of directors meeting and all the different things that they voted on and whatever at the end of the year. But take a look. Pick a couple companies and take a look at what their R&D budget is. I mean, you might not even have to go to that filing. You could probably just search it in Google, you know, yearly R&D budget for X. Because I'm telling you, if that number went to zero, that would be such a huge boom to profits. Because you and me and the environment and everything around us is now the big petri dish. I can't even get mad about it anymore. This is just so bothersome to me because the genie is out of the bottle. All right, I'm going to drop this here. Anyone who is interested in the corporation that is responsible for manufacturing the genetically modified mosquitoes, their name is Oxitec, O-X-I-T-E-C, www.oxitec.com, under who we are, and then our team. All right. So let's get to some of the awesome videos. So we had read the story yesterday, and I just like to prove when I remember something. And I put two and two together and then said, holy shit. And then I found the proof for it afterward because I remembered it. And then when my brain works properly. All right, so we talked about the story yesterday. It came out of ABC, but it was in a lot of the different mainstream publications. Millions of genetically modified mosquitoes could be released in Florida if British researchers win approval to use the bugs against two extremely painful diseases. Yes, there was the chikungunya. The chikungunya virus, which I dug into that too. I got to say, I remember there was like a World Health Organization map that I've been looking at when I first started seeing videos about the chikungunya or whatever they call it. I still call it chikungunya virus. And I was like, wow, how interesting. Ebola, and all of a sudden they're talking about dengue, and now this chikungunya comes out of the woodwork. Ooh, be scared, be very scared. How come I never heard of this before? And I was looking. It looks like the dengue and the chikungunya are different diseases. I know a few people in chat yesterday were saying they're the same. They might have some similar symptoms, at least according to the CDC website, but the maps are very different. Chikungunya, I don't see anywhere in this country at all, north or south. I see it mostly over in the Middle East and in Africa. But I do see dengue is down in the southernmost hemisphere, and in the very southern tips, they're warning about the Bahamas and very southern Florida, the Keys, Cuba. But we read some stories yesterday of people from Florida going, what the hell are they talking about? I mean, there's very, 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 very few cases, and they're making it sound like we're being overrun. Anyway, one of the things I wanted to bring up is that in this article, they had talked about a few other instances that were very interesting. And one was that this is going to be the first release of genetically modified mosquitoes on U.S. soil, but there had been one or two previous. One was in the Cayman Islands, which I had never heard about that one before, in 2012, with over 3.3 million modified mosquitoes. And I had said, wow, you know, we talked many times about those mysteriously large pterodactyl-sized mosquitoes that they knew all about that just happened to blow into Florida. And guess what? We found the video. It was March of 2013. So it was right after. It was right after they released all those things in the Cayman Islands. So maybe they were the GMO mosquitoes that blew into Key West out of the Cayman Islands. So here, I want to play this one because I have that video here. I couldn't find this one yesterday either. Giant mosquitoes invade Florida.
Whether you're on a downtown stroll, eating lunch outside, or playing golf, this summer you have a new friend to look out for. The state, considered by many to have the most bugs, is about to get a new tenant, a mosquito 20 times the size of the one you're used to that feeds day and night and has a sting some say feels like a poke from a knife.
Wait a minute. That was like the best part, too. I remember when I first saw this, I was like, what? We got to back that up. We got to hear that again. And I mean, these just come out of the blue, drop out of the sky, and no one questions it. How is it possible? I mean, honestly, people, sometimes I think that all this crazy shit that's happening now, we almost deserve it because we're just too freaking stupid. And this was mainstream news on CNN, like drooling in front of the TV watching it, and nobody said what? We just accepted it. All right, here, we're going to hear this one more time. Pay attention to what this man says.
The most bugs is about to get a new tenant, a mosquito 20 times the size of the one you're used to that feeds day and night and has a sting some say feels like a poke from a knife.
We're used to the little tiny ones that go to the back of your knees, and this one's right in your face. It's aggressive. It's got a nasty bite.
Debbie Castle, a biologist at USF St. Petersburg, says the gallinipper mosquito first showed up after Tropical Storm Debbie. Experts believe the insect will invade Florida during the summer rainy season.
This thing's like a pterodactyl.
You know what? I quoted her probably 100 times now. The pterodactyl-sized mosquitoes. And yeah, I take that back. It was a tropical storm, not a hurricane. I want to track, if someone wants a little bit of homework out there, see if you can find the historical path of Tropical Storm Debbie. Now, I know most of the tropical storms actually originate off the coast of Africa and blow into southern Florida, but maybe this one originated in the Cayman Islands, because if it did, that would be the proof. All right, here, let's hear the rest of this.
In the mosquito world, it's huge. And for me, exciting. For most people, a little scary.
And for folks like Tom Steven, owner of the Buzz Off Mosquito Control, it means more work.
There's always a means to control mosquitoes. This mosquito, even though it's aggressive, we can still contain that mosquito by products that we have.
So bad news is this mosquito targets humans, animals, even fish with a...
Yes, the mosquito that attacks fish. I don't know if maybe I've just lived under a rock most of my life, but do mosquitoes bite fish? I mean, I know fish eat mosquitoes, but should they be feeding off of each other both ways? It just seems odd that mosquitoes would be attacking fish if they saw them come to the surface of the water.
Sting that can penetrate clothing. But there is some good news. It eats the eggs of the mosquito we're used to, and it doesn't carry West Nile, encephalitis, or any other serious disease.
That very key part at the end is what always got me. They're like, oh, the mosquito just blew out of nowhere, came up on a storm, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, though it's pretty vicious and it could stab you through your clothes, it doesn't carry any diseases, encephalitis. How did they know that? If this mosquito just appeared, how did they have all this research done already to know all about this mosquito? They didn't. It was made in a lab. I am just so certain about that fact. 20 times bigger, and it eats all the indigenous mosquito eggs. I mean, guys, this has got to be. Absolutely. They just didn't tell us. Here, I'm going to drop you that video. So Gringo says no, Jules. So I guess mosquitoes don't normally bite fish. I haven't seen fish with mosquito bites. Oh, it's just insane. And I mean, this is absolutely mad science gone mad. So one of the other places that they had talked about releasing these genetically modified mosquitoes was in Brazil. Well, I'm telling you, that Pigmind 2 channel is like a treasure trove because I found that video also. Hold on 1 second. I disconnected again. Here we go.
Scientists in Brazil believe they have an alternative tool in the fight against the dengue virus, and they're genetically modified mosquitoes. That's what they're doing. And a pilot program has revealed that it's working.
This is from July of 2012.
International's Azadeh Ansari is going beyond the headlines. And Azadeh, this sounds like science. It sounds like a science fiction movie that I'm going to go to the movies to see.
It does. Like it sounds Jurassic Park-ish, yeah. And you have these like genetically modified mosquitoes pitted against these wild like mosquitoes. But
Yeah, sounds like a science fiction movie. Ha ha! That's so cool. I mean, honestly, did you just see that? They're like, oh yeah, but it's real. This is why is nobody standing up going, this is wrong. This is wrong. It's wrong. You do not release millions of these. We don't even know what the end result is going to be into the ecosystem to then see what happens.
Brazil implemented this program in 2011, and they saw over a six-month period, Don, that there was a 90% decrease in the mosquito population, which in turn means a decrease in dengue fever. But what they're doing, and they just said this today, they started off in their pilot program with 500,000 mosquitoes. Now they're saying, let's try this in a different city with 4 million genetically modified mosquitoes to see what happens.
How are they going
to
do that?
Well, okay, bear with me. It does sound a little freaky, but okay. They're taking male mosquitoes and they're genetically modifying them to carry a lethal gene against the dengue virus. Then they send these male mosquitoes out into the wild, say, go get those females. They mate with the females. Then the offspring actually carry this lethal gene. And then the offspring don't even become adult mosquitoes. They literally just stay in the larva stage and then they just are destroyed.
Okay. So we just heard that whole process. And here's what I'm going to point out to you. If you take a look at some of the other stuff I've been covering, and this, it doesn't look like we're probably going to get too much to it today, but I'm going to continue because there is a big connecting dot here. This whole longevity project, the immortality project, one of the things that they've been searching for is the quote-unquote elixir of youth, right? And they've been messing around with what? Fruit flies and genetically modifying fruit flies, because fruit flies are a lot like humans, at least genetically speaking. And they emulate human genes, so they actually reproduce very quickly. So they are really good for messing around with genetics. Well, did you hear what she said? They genetically modify the male mosquito. Now, if they can do it in mosquitoes, they could do it in fruit flies. If they could do it in fruit flies, they could probably do it in humans. Genetically modify the male mosquito. So when he goes after the female mosquito and she gets pregnant, what happens? The larva shrivels up and dies. I'm hearing an echo. Hold on. I'm also hearing an echo, a future echo of stop genetically modified mosquitoes and stop the genetically modified fruit flies. Guys, I think that this is their plan. We've talked about it. Eugenics. It's coming right now. All the stuff that's going on is ways to make money. But they are looking at some point reducing the population down to what? A manageable number, according to Bill Gates. Because of climate change, we need to get one of these numbers down to zero, he said in the TED conference. One of those happened to be carbon dioxide. What do mosquitoes look for when they search for humans? They look for our carbon dioxide signature. We are big producers of carbon dioxide. We will be the next ones. I want to hear her say that one more time because I really think once they crack how this all works, you know, they're already messing with our DNA. And once they crack all of these secrets, and then Big Pharma and the genomics companies are all in there with their Obamacare, and you've given up all your privacy, you've given them your swab, and they're going to figure out what treatments are best for you, it's over. It's all over. Anything goes. The world of Dr. Moreau. All right, here, let's hear this one more time. I want to hear her explanation on how they're going to wipe out the mosquito.
It does sound a little freaky, but they're taking male mosquitoes and they're genetically modifying them to carry a lethal gene against the dengue virus. Then,
okay, so all we got to do now with humans is we have these RNAi vaccines, like the very first one tested in humans for Ebola, that can go in and modify your gene to make it whatever she said. Hold on, let's hear what she said again.
Okay. They're taking male mosquitoes and they're genetically modifying them to carry a lethal gene against the dengue virus.
All right, so we're going to modify male humans to carry the lethal gene against whatever virus or against sperm or against, I don't know, anything, air. I mean, they can make it anything they want. When they finally crack all the secrets of the genes, and they're pretty close at it. I mean, Hecti was sending me some videos at one point. I was just absolutely amazed at how far they've come, because in the old days, it used to be just like film. When you edited a film in the old days, you had a big editing table and you used literally a razor blade and scotch tape for like real movies. You know, when you're doing Hollywood movies, that's how it was done. You had an editing table and it was all by hand. And then digital came along. And once digital came along, then you had software like... any of the Studio Pro software packages, Adobe Premiere, any of that stuff. And super high end, everything's digitized. And now you don't have rolls of film laying on the floor of the editing room, right? You can just like anything we do when we edit audio or whatever, you can always keep your original copy instead of ruining it. Well, the same thing has happened in the world of genetics. Before, it used to be very manual, and now it's just like a big software program, like a reusable code. Everything's in code, and now you can take, you know, an ACTG from here and maybe a little bit of, you know, blob from here and something from here. And actually, that's the one thing we haven't talked about is this whack jobby guy, the startup company that now, and we'll end the show with this, don't let me forget, because that's exactly, this guy is offering, like, create your own life for $39.95. It's sick. All right, here, let's hear the rest of this.
Send these male mosquitoes out into the wild, say, go get those females. They mate with the females, then the offspring actually carry this lethal gene, and then the offspring don't even become adult mosquitoes. They literally just stay in the larva stage, and then they just are destroyed.
Wow. So what actually happens is that they never fully mature. They just get really sick with all kinds of diseases. Oh, my God, didn't they say, like... 50% of all children by 2035 are going to have autism. I mean, guys, that's what it seems to me like our children are being poisoned very quickly. And we've postulated this for a long time, but I'm telling you, they're already doing it on bugs. And that's where always the first trials start. Then it goes to mammals, small animals, then primates, then humans. But sometimes it even skips all that if we don't know about it, like the nanotechnology.
Oh, really?
Fascinating.
Have they done this before?
They have. It's been done on a smaller scale, obviously, in the Cayman Islands. It's been done in Malaysia and in Australia as well. But
yes, in Australia, it was to combat the mosquitoes that supposedly had some horrible virus that they were giving to horses, and the horses were dying.
Again, this whole concept has environmentalists and public health officials up in arms, because even though it's worked in the laboratory and on a small scale, the reality is this could have dire implications on a grand scale when you look at what it could do to the environment as well as
to our public health. That's what I'm playing with Mother Nature. I mean, are they sure that they want to do this? Obviously, they have to fight dengue somehow.
They do, because there's no cure and there's no vaccine against it. So it does give them a glimpse of hope. And though in the U.S. it's not a problem, you know, we don't have outbreaks of dengue like they do with...
Did you just hear that? It's in the U.S. It's not a problem.
In the rest of the world, we're talking about nearly 40% of the world's population could be at risk for dengue at some point, you know? So huge problem. This does give them a glimpse of hope for a possible solution and how to combat this, even though it does sound really, really off the charts. And
yeah, weird. It's fascinating, though. Thank you.
You're welcome, Matt.
All right, so Don Lemon, who actually was voted like the worst journalist ever, is even surprised. He's like, wow, that doesn't sound like a good idea. No, it doesn't. But oh boy, is it fascinating. No, I don't find Frankenstein science fascinating even. I find it sick. Here, I'm going to drop that one into chat. I don't know, guys, use this stuff as ammunition, because that's what it is. Send this to people. Make them watch it and then say, what the fuck? This is titled, this again is on Pigmind 2, millions of GMO mosquitoes released in Brazil. The date of this video was July 10th, 2012. You heard her say, too, that the experiments in Brazil actually also happened in 2011. And again, it's the same company, Oxitec. So we have Monsanto going after the crops. It looks like Oxitec formerly known as Syngenta employees are going after the bugs. And remember, Monsanto bought that Save the Bee company too. You haven't heard much about that, but you've seen a lot in regards to the robo bees and MIT and Harvard's project with the, you know, new unmanned aerial micro vehicles for spying and, hey, pollinating crops. All right. Let's see. I dug up so much great shit yesterday. Here we go. Here. Now, this one. Scientists predict new human species will emerge in 30 years. This one is actually from September of this year. And this video didn't get much fanfare at all. I didn't hear anybody talking about this or going, what? How? What? Why would we want a new human species? I mean, what on earth are you talking about? Yeah, this is for real. This is absolutely for real.
And Homo sapien 2.0, according to a researcher at the Global Brain Institute, a completely new human species will inhabit the Earth in just over 30 years. Now,
and notice she said it was from someone at the Global Brain Institute. Remember, that whole brain project, again, not many people talking about it, but I'm telling you, it is the foot in the door for black ops science to be able to manipulate and control those of us who don't fall victim to being poisoned to death by the pharmaceutical and genomic companies. It's like their ace.
This evolutionary step could be comparable to the transition from apes to humans. So what kind of people will we become? Well, they say our biological clocks will undergo dramatic changes, which will allow us to live longer and give birth at an older age. And of course, technology will continue to make our lives easier. All kinds of microchip implants will be placed in our ears and our fingers and make many devices completely obsolete. But this dependence on technology has its drawbacks, of course. In the future, humans are going to have to compete for jobs against, you guessed it, machines and cyborgs. And since most of the work will already be done and automated by robots, a sedentary way of life will ultimately take over and make us all a little bit bigger.
How disturbing is that bit of future? And even Billy Gates had come out and said that our jobs are all going to be taken by robots, so don't worry about it. And that's like not in the not too distant future. It's already happening. It's absolutely already happening. All right, I'm going to drop this one too. This one's on Pigmind 6, but that was an RT clip. There was another one I was trying to find, and I was looking on 2, but I'll have to look on 6. That was the one about the new life form that they just created, the 4 proteins, CATG, and now they've added the X and Y gene, so they've created this alien life that now is reproducing. So that should get you excited too. You know, one of the things I want to see too is Schmidt, Google CEO, he had talked about the immortality project, but I saw that everyone was just bashing him the other day because he was saying that the internet was going to go away. We need to find that clip because she even mentioned it. I mean, we are going to be integrated with the internet. That's what he means. That's what all the smart technology is about. He actually talks about smart and immortality. I mean, we are going to merge with the machine. I have Ray Kurzweil, too. A couple clips Pigmind found me. Ray Kurzweil actually discusses the melding. Here, let's hear that one right now. The melding of man and machine. Ray Kurzweil.
You use the
The psychopath. This man is completely over the top. And remember, he is now the director of engineering at Google working with Eric Schmidt. So this is the scary part. The two crazies have come together. And they have an unlimited budget, and they are in the back door working with DARPA and with all the electronics companies. They work with Samsung. That's their biggest partner, Google. Did you know that? To get into all the home appliances for smart homes, that Schmidt talks about that as well. So here we go. Ray Kurzweil, a melding man and machine. This is from July 2012.
Term singularity. In physics, singularity is a black hole. There's a theoretical point of infinite force and gravity, but there's an event horizon, which is actually fairly large, around the black hole, And within that event horizon, gravity is so great that the light can't get out. So we can't actually see what's going on inside because all of the electromagnetic energy is kept inside that event horizon. So it's hard to see beyond the event horizon because the forces are so great. So that's the metaphor we're borrowing, that the changes are so profound past around 2045 that we can't easily see beyond them and see how current trends will continue.
And that singularity you're describing is a melding of man and machine, so you can't tell one from the other, really.
Right. My view is that it's not us versus them. We're going to merge with them. This, and this is metaphorical in terms of the whole access to information technology I use.
And that's your cell phone.
Yeah. And it's a gateway to the cloud of resources. And that makes me smarter, and it's part of who I am. And in fact, if I'm cut off from access, maybe not this physical device, but some access to the cloud of resources, information resources, I feel less than complete. And I use them all the time, and I'm not unique. So whether it's inside my body or not, I think is an arbitrary distinction. But there are people already putting computers inside their bodies and brains, computerized pancreas replacements, or neural implants that are connected into the brain, like for Parkinson's patients, or cochlear implants for the deaf. And the latest generation of neural implants for Parkinson's patients allows you to download new software to the implant connected into your brain from outside the patient. So these technologies are already part of who we are. They're so small, we carry them around. They're in our pockets or on our belts. They'll become even more closely integrated. If you go out a few years, certainly by 5 or 6 years, instead of looking at a little screen, the whole visual field of view will be our screen because we'll put them in our eyeglasses and contact lenses. These already exist. In fact, Google's about to come out with glasses like this for augmented reality, a virtual reality environment that will be highly realistic. And we'll be sort of immersed in this augmentation of our reality at all times.
All right, guys, and I hate to say it, but there's only 30 seconds left of the show. Wow, that sucks because I was just getting rolling. I have so many things to talk about. All right, well, we will continue this tomorrow. Make sure you guys stick around because it's Wednesday. We got Hal up next. Tonight, Josh is live at 6 p.m. Eastern in Anti-Tyranny News. Continual condition with the boys from New York. Get an update on the storm that never was. Truth or Talk Radio, it is the rebroad of the Dr. Lucier episode. So if you missed that one, make sure you catch it. That's at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Into the Radio with Nick and DP tonight at 11. All the stuff for great guys. Have a great 20.